Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
For just a few minutes, put yourself in the shoes of our next guest. You're a young mother, you have a very busy and fulfilling career, and things are humming along for you until you start having strange, panicky feelings and headaches. You probably chalk it up to stress until you see a doctor and you're diagnosed with a brain tumor. What would you do? That was Caroline Wright's life a few years ago. Her tumor was the size of a clementine, and she was told she would die in a year. Grief-stricken, Caroline started to journal her worries and determination to live on a Caring Bridge site. Caring Bridge, as you know, is a nonprofit based in Eagan, Minnesota, that offers free web pages to patients to chronicle their health challenges. Well, a community developed online around Caroline Wright, and after she casually wrote about craving homemade soup, jars of soup started appearing on her family's doorstep. They continued to show up for months thereafter. Caroline's cancer is wonderfully in remission right now. She's living a very full life. She's a fabulous baker and chef and is out with her newest cookbook inspired by her experience. It's called Soup Club. Caroline is in the Twin Cities promoting her book. She'll be making a couple of nice pots of soup at Crooks of Crocus Hill in Minneapolis tomorrow night. But first, she joins us. And it's always good to hear your voice. How are you, Caroline?
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
It is good to have you back. I am so happy you're still in remission. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. I feel very, very lucky every day.
What explanation have you gotten from the experts that you go from being given a year to live and now you're in remission for a number of years? I mean, what have they said about this?
I'm an outlier, and I feel like they never have anything particularly special to say to outliers except just keep doing what you're doing. So that's the explanation.
And what does that mean, keep doing what you're doing? You've done a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I do anything terribly special for a normal person. I just, you know, make sure I get sleep, drink a lot of water, get exercise, and which I guess was sort of miraculous for someone who had brain surgery and all of those things. But I, you know, eat really cleanly and just think of all of like my activities of being alive as a sort of honor of being alive and want my body to have all the tools it needs to be healthy.
I got to ask about Soup Club, of course. How did it manifest? Was it really because of the Caring Bridge site?
Yes, it was. So, you know, I was sick, and because I'm a professional cook, I'm also the cook of my house. And so when I was sick, you know, I was on all these medications and just having gotten out of brain surgery, and I was like going to the refrigerator and eating, you know, takeout, which just felt wrong. And I couldn't really sleep because of the steroids. And I just was like, okay, so this is not how someone gets better. You know, you don't eat takeout and not sleep and like survive brain cancer. So what are you going to do? And so I thought to myself, well, what can I do? I guess, what can I ask strangers? Because we didn't know anyone in Seattle where I live at the time. We had just moved. I was like, what can I ask strangers to bring that won't be like, you know, boxed food or you know, will actually be healthy in any iteration? And soup just arrived in my brain. And I was like thinking everybody knows how to make at least one favorite like homemade soup. And so I just sounded a call for soup, and soup just showed up on my porch every day for like 3 or 4 months until I actually just had to say stop because I was strong enough to, and I had no freezer room to like put anything away. And then I survived, you know, miraculously, the year I was given to live. And I didn't really know what I was going to do because surviving is strange too. It's a crazy whiplash that nobody tells you. And so I survived and was eating very differently than I ate before. And I didn't know exactly what to do other than soup arrived in my brain again. Like what felt right, like the right thing to do is I wanted to make soup for the people who made soup for me. That felt like a repayment, literal and kind. And that just started, it like restored my idea of being a cook. It restored, you know, people were eating my soup in real, my friends were eating soup in real time, texting me pictures of their like family and friends eating this soup. And so then I decided, okay, I'm going to make a cookbook about this. And so then that's where the book came in. But yeah, I've been making my original vegan soup recipes for my friends for 4 years now, every week.
So all the recipes in the book, are they all vegan and plant-based?
Mm-hmm, they're all plant-based. But in the club, I, you know, offer suggestions of like how you can add meat if different people at your table eat differently. And so vegan was not because I am vegan. It's because I just thought it was like the most challenging possible end of a restrictive diet. I just thought it was like, oh, if I can make delicious tasting vegan soup, then I can, you know, conquer the world. It's really fun. It was just like a food editor's challenge of doing something with like really strong boundaries. And it ended up working out really well.
Do you have a favorite recipe? I know that's like asking if you have a favorite kid, but I thought I would.
I have many favorites. I love this soup called Seattle Springtime Lentil. When I was sick, people brought me mostly lentil soup. That was like the love language I discovered of Seattleites. So I was like, I want to make, what is my lentil soup that I want to make for them? And it's like a very funky, you know, spunky sort of lentil soup. It has like coconut and black lentils and lime juice. It's like, and it has like a roasted spring vegetable base and has arugula stirred into it. It's very like interesting and delicious and has a little bit of curry powder and it's delicious. Highly recommend it.
I have to ask you this because you mentioned this and it kind of went zinging by, but I want to kind of just circle back a little tiny bit here. You mentioned that there's some whiplash when someone tells you you have a year to live and then you're living, right? And you mentioned there's whiplash and no one tells you about this. So how are you dealing with it? And what does it feel like?
It was particularly challenging for me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I just happen to have kind of like a physical job. And a lot of my work is based from places I've lived before, like New York. And so I was like finding myself constantly having to battle from a great distance people's perceptions of what, like they had knowledge of my diagnosis and my cancer. And then you're just like having to show up in rooms and be like, okay, I'm not dead. Please hire me. Which is a very strange existence, like proving your vitality. And it's a performance in a way that's different because of the perceptions. I think it comes from people's perceptions of death. Like they have an idea of what someone with cancer or someone who gets a diagnosis looks like. And I didn't look like that, but nobody knew that because, you know, they weren't in front of me all the time and I wasn't on social media. So once I, survived, it's like, oh, okay, now I got to go and find some work. And it's funny in that way.
And you've obviously found work. And I love the soup club.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And every life, all, it all settled out to be, it shook out to exactly where it was supposed to be. It was just a very, you go from feeling kind of lonely and dehumanized as a patient. And because of that, and people don't know what to say to you, I feel like there is a necessary space that exists that you have to like kind of crawl back from. At least that was certainly my experience. And then, you know, just reemerging as like someone who is a busy mom and, you know, has a life. And people see that as returning to normal. But the truth of the reality is like anyone knows who's gone through this, there is no returning to normal. You are changed forever because of what you've gone through. So it's more like reassimilating as this new person into a life that resembled some of the same factors that you had before. And it's just, I think it's a unique challenge as every cancer journey is or every, you know, health journey is for everyone. It's just different.
That's why I'm glad you're doing Soup Club. I mean, that you're doing what you're doing with soup, because it's a healing food, and making it can be healing as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I say this, it sounds cheesy, but it really isn't cheesy to me. Every week I make a new soup for my soup club members and friends. And I genuinely do feel like the practice of making soup, it is a kind of meditation on gratitude for the life that I have found. And I am so grateful to everyone, you included, Kathy, that being a part of this journey. And I get to practice that every week. And I feel very, very honored that I've landed here.
Well, I am thrilled that you are back in town, and I'm so happy to have talked to you again, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks, Kathy.